We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That is Planet Flare by the B-52s. Late B-52s guitarist Ricky Wilson, born on this day in 1953. We'll send that out to Ms. Coffin.
That's very nice. So Grizz lose in overtime, 121-111. Do you extract anything in particular from that enterprise last night?
I mean, not a lot, but it was a good, competitive, sort of fun game if you stayed up for all of it, which I did. They can't pull it out in overtime, which is either good or bad, depending on your rooting interest at this point in the Grizzly season. Jaren had a rough shooting night, but like came on strong late and like made plays, and Gigi Jackson had a good game, and Arabia also a bad shooting night, but sort of was in it and productive. And I think if you're in the mode where you think losses are better for the overall enterprise for draft positioning, but you also want to see glimmers of, hey, this team is going to be good next season when they're healthy, I think that was a game that sort of checked both boxes for you.
I thought interesting stat in Drew's gamer today that since February 1st, Gigi has averaged 13.3 field goals a game. As a rookie, Ja averaged 14. Like he is getting them up.
He is not shy about shooting, and also there's sort of an opportunity there, right?
Exactly.
Like, Ja's not there taking shots, right?
Right. Who knows where this will settle? Last night was a good shooting night. But as you've pointed out, when we were at the zenith of our Gigi is going to be an all-star hype, he was making a level of threes that he had not historically done. Where are we on the Gigi experience?
Well, I mean, the good news with him is that his value is not dependent on three-point shooting.
Right.
He can be a good player without being a good 3-point shooter. He has other stuff to his game. Now, if he's a good 3-point shooter in addition to all the other stuff that his athleticism provides, then you're talking about a player with some all-star upside, you know. And so I think you have to feel great about Gigi Jackson. I think he's way ahead of schedule. He has shown every bit of the potential that everyone sort of thought he had based on his pedigree. But he's way ahead of, I think, where not everyone. There are Gigi Jackson like super supporters out there who assumed this was going to happen. But I think he's way ahead of where anyone with the Grizzlies thought he would be right now. And so I think you have to only be thrilled about it. My only notes of caution are just that, and I tend to be conservative about some of these projection stuff, is that I just don't assume too much is locked in. I think with players that young, there's ups and downs, and we'll see where it goes. And so I've not budged off my ultimate sort of short-term analysis of the Grizzlies. If the Grizzlies want to go deep in the playoffs next year, they can't build a team dependent on him playing, being one of your top six or seven players. But that doesn't mean he won't be one of your top six or seven players. That's sort of up to him.
I want to get to the piece, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, the piece that you wrote over at the Daily Memphian. Before then, though, Sam Vecenie had a mock draft up today in advance of the NCAA tournament. Obviously, a lot of the players in the draft won't be playing in the NCAA tournament because they play in Europe or they play in the G League or wherever else. But he did, like, he pointed, the lack of enthusiasm for this draft is really striking. And, of course, it's compared to the Anthony Bennett draft that there's just not a lot of sure things, or even what looks like sure things.
The problem is that there's not an obvious number one pick And so, like, you would still rather have the number one pick than the number two or than the number three or whatever. But if you got the number one pick, something the Grizzlies have never done as a franchise, it would be like, this is nice, but did this have to be the year that it happens, you know?
What the hell are you doing? But at least you're not counting on that. You are using whatever, whether you trade or trade down or use or actually make the number one pick, you are hoping that player will be your fourth best player maybe someday and not even next year. So you're not in the fix that those that the Wizards are in, for example. So that's good. What's interesting is, so he did what is fun this year. He took one spin of the lottery wheel, and the Grizzlies ended up fourth in Sam Vecenie's projection, and they ended up taking Reed Shepherd, who in some sense makes no sense at all. He is electric as a, you know, third guard, small. He actually makes defensive plays for Kentucky.
To me, the Reed Shepherd thing, and again, I still have not, I've watched some of these guys. I don't have like very firm convictions, but from a player type standpoint applied to the Grizzlies roster, Reed Shepherd is not ideal, it seems to me, but he makes a lot more sense to me than like his teammate Rob Dillingham does.
Exactly. Because he can play off the ball. He can be the super sub, right? I mean, isn't that?
He's a little bit big. He's a little bit bigger, at least a little bit bigger. They're both small, but he's a little bit bigger. He's a better defender, seems to be. He's more of a, he can play more off ball. He can fit into, like, I actually read that part of the Vecenie thing, and he sort of makes one of his notes, I think, is well taken, is, you know, you draft him, then suddenly that frees you up to try to trade the Luke Kennard
contract.
That's
what I was going to get to.
He can sort of step into the Kennard role, and now you try to use the Kennard contract to trade for to address your front court. That makes a lot of sense. So I think that logic checks out.
Yeah, that's what you would have to do. You would not, at that point, you would not need Luke Kennard, you'd have Reed Shepherd in that role. And Reed Shepherd, by the way, and as we, if you and I have both acknowledged this before, basketball is supposed to be fun, would be fun. Like, I think Reed Shepherd would.
I like guys who are, like, good at basketball. Like, this is a weird thing about me. I like guys who are good at basketball. And, like, guys who, like, have a good feel for the game and, like, can move the ball and play defense and just, like, know how to play. I kind of like those guys.
Yeah. So that was sort of fun. It was a little bit discouraging to me to realize that, because yesterday we were talking about the comparisons with Oklahoma City, and their freaking Oklahoma City is, they have Utah's pick if it falls outside of 9 or 10 or something like that, which is unlikely at this point, and they've got Houston's pick. So in this damn draft, they're the one taking Donovan Klingon at 11 with Houston's pick. So Grizzlies will probably have a higher pick, but it's not locked in. Did you read the Donovan Klingon section of the mock?
I scanned it. I think it was about him. You know, he had the foot and the ankle stuff early in the season. He's come on strong late. He obviously had his best game of the season box score wise was the last game he played in the conference tournament. The one thing he noted in that write up that was not as clear to me, and I'd have to look a little bit closer, is he noted the passing skill. It wasn't clear to me he had that kind of passing ability. If that is something that can be a plus part of his game, I think that is helpful. If he's not just a bulldozer, but he can do the dribble handoff, high post passing stuff that Steven Adams also did, that really would cement the Steven Adams comp a little bit more.
Your piece went up yesterday. We talked a lot about it. One of the things I really enjoyed was you reminded us a little bit of the history. We've lost. It's been a while now. But there's some pretty rich history with the Thunder and the Grizzlies, right?
Back the year that I was the true Memphis columnist for when ESPN was doing that series for a while, I did a whole column about, because that was one of that year I was doing that. They were playing. That was the year they had the four straight overtime games. And I sort of wrote a piece back then about how this is the team that is the most consequential in Grizzlies lore. Then since then we've added, you added that where we beat them by as a member of the Memphis Grizzlies, we beat them by 75 or 79 or whatever, and fan-chanting defense, which even adds to it. There's a lot of history there. I mean, three playoff series, and the grit grind game, the Tony Allen all hard grit grind game was at OKC, the bust his butt mark, with Zach Randolph and Kendrick Perkins almost got into a fight. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
There.
Four straight playoff overtimes. That was an incredible series. Tony Allen throwing the growl towel on the court or whatever it was, waving a towel on the court at the end of one of the games in Oklahoma City, getting a T for that, which was, it was It was a rich and wild series. Of course, then the teams were strikingly different, and now the teams are at least appear to be.
Yeah, I think there was a real stylistic contrast between the flash of Durant and Westbrook and like the grinder mentality, you know, the grinder overachiever aspect of the grind era Grizzlies. And now I think it's striking how similarly the teams are being built. And so, I hope it was going to happen this season, and it didn't happen for the Grizzlies. Things went off the tracks. I think there's a real chance for that to be a signature rivalry over the next several years in the Western Conference.
So, is it ESPN that does the future rankings? Which always are peculiar, is confusing to me, because how do you define the future? But I'll define the future this way, Chris. Over the next 5 years in the West, what? Just from a competitive perspective, not a stylistic perspective, from a competitive, you want your team to win games. What teams would you most want to be a fan of in the next 5 years in the West?
So I don't know if ESPN has done this lately, but there's actually one of the Ringer pods, the one that Rob Mahoney is on, who I'm a fan of. Him, Justin Barrier, who actually was my line editor when I did that ESPN thing back in the day, and then Wozni Lambre. I like their pod, and they did a thing recently where they did their top five teams in terms of future, and they had a consensus of three teams like that was on all three of their lists, and that was Denver, Boston, Oklahoma City. Those were the three absolute locks. But the other teams that got mentions in that were Milwaukee, New York, Memphis, and San Antonio. And I think that's a pretty solid. San Antonio based strictly on having Wemby. But I think the idea that like Grizzlies are sort of second tier in terms of like who's best set up over the next several years, I think that's about right.
Wait, so let me go through this. So, and it is funny. Future is also present. So that's how
it works. Like over the next 5 years, which includes next season. Right?
So it's Denver, Boston, and Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma as locks.
As a lock. Yeah. Okay. And then who's in the next tier?
Well, the other teams that got at least one vote, in some cases two votes, so among the three of them, not necessarily in no particular order, were Milwaukee and New York in the East, and Memphis and San Antonio in the West.
It's really interesting, because what that implies is that all, like, the West is fierce right now, you know. But it implies that there's going to be a lot of falling off, right? Either the Phoenix is old, L.A. is old, Golden State
is... a problem.
Yeah.
These teams are old, but, like, they can get new players.
They can all reload. Assume, they have unfair advantages,
You just assume the Lakers are just always going to be good because they're the Lakers, and, like, whoever is going to force his way to the Lakers. That's sort of the problem with it.
Right. That's the problem with it. And they will, at the end of this year, they're going to have more first-round picks that are available for them to flip for a player who wants to force themselves to the Lakers. But, yes, Phoenix. So, and then it also is – it's sort of New Orleans, Minnesota, Dallas. The Clippers, I guess, old injured, right? And people don't seem to force their way to the Clippers typically. I mean, Kawhi and Paul George
They get a lot of money. They got the rich owner in the league, and they're in Los Angeles or moving into a new arena. You know, my thing is I'm not that interested in fretting about where the Grizzlies are won. I want the Grizzlies to be in the fray. Right. I want them to be in the hunt. I want a season next year where the games matter all season. And you're excited that Oklahoma City's coming in and they're both in the playoff race. And you're winning most of your games at home, unlike this season. And home games are rocking and it's fun.
Right.
And you think we get to the playoffs and all bets are off. We got a chance to do this. You'd love to be like the best team and like to be the favorite to win the title. But like whatever. I just want to be in the hunt if I'm a fan. I want my team in the hunt.
And you, not assume, but I mean, I would predict that barring disastrous health, assuming basic good health, not perfect health, because there is no such thing, they will be that will happen next year. And I would assume that assuming basic good health, they won't be in the play-in next year. They'll be in the top six. Don't you think?
The Grizzlies finished second in the West each of the last two seasons.
Right.
That could very easily happen again next season. I think we'll see what happens this summer and what all the transactions are and who's healthy and who's not. But I think I'm likely to predict the Grizzlies to be a top four team in the West next season.
Yeah.
They did it each of the last 2 years. The only reason they're not doing it this year is because the guys got hurt and suspended and everything.
It is amazing. 40 last night. It's the 69th game. It was the 42nd starting lineup that they have fielded. All right, Chris. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Napkin. Jeffrey, are you prepared to predict that this will be a top four seed next year?
Yeah, when we kind of – remember we quickly did this exercise last week? And what we came up with, the teams that you would definitely put ahead of the Grizzlies for next season
was – Denver, Oklahoma City, I definitely put ahead of them.
Correct, but
– And that's it.
Correct. Like, Minnesota's going to have injury questions, but okay, if you want to put them up – But beyond
Minnesota
that,
has injury and money questions. The Clippers have age and injury questions. The Suns, they're not even good now, and they're getting older, and they've gone all in. Dallas has gone all in, and they're freaking in the play-in. Now, evidently, Zion's lost a lot of weight, and New Orleans is looking better, but I'm not going to predict there. I'm not going to assume they're going to be ahead of the Grizzlies.
Well, and I think to Chris's point,
the Lakers, who knows what the hell the Lakers are going to do, of course, as he points out. Who knows what Golden State's going to do, of course, as he points out. I think the only two teams that I would absolutely project right now to be ahead of the Grizzlies next year, and again, who knows what happens this summer, are Denver and Oklahoma City.
And what the Grizzlies have shown under Taylor Jenkins is that they are a good regular season team.
Yeah, they're a good regular season team. They'll be like, it is why I totally feel for the Grizzly fans who had season tickets this year. Like you're making a bet, and it went badly because everybody got hurt. But if I was a season ticket holder, would I bail after this year? 100% no. I'm due, man. Like.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.